Hello, and welcome to episode 210 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars, and I'm here with the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Yes, that was a nice hello, Dan. That was a good one. This week, myself and Daniel, joined by a writer responsible for titles like The Guys and Mahoney's, and the brains behind Hardline Comics, it's our pleasure to welcome Richard Carrington to the show. Hello, sir.
Hello there, you all right?
Rich?
We are well.
Good.
People would never know that we've been talking for 5 to 10 minutes. No, I've ruined it already. as you can tell, folks, this week, unfortunately, Tony the Legend Esmond can't be with us. Those that follow him online will know that he's actually been a bit under the weather, and he's been in hospital for most of this past week. And he's had a proper shit time of it.
Yes.
But fear not, he's going to be back as soon as he can, and like no doubt we can look forward to more classic Tony Esmond tales from the land of the EZ soon enough.
The tale of how he gets on in hospital should be interesting.
Yep.
Because I think he's got his backs up a few times.
Yeah.
So,
he hasn't been able to read comics as well. Now, anyone that knows him will know that that's what's made him.
He draws on them like a vampire draws on blood.
Yeah, or Superman is powered by the sun. Tony Esmond is he's powered by the smell of the ink and the feel of the paper.
Try explaining that to a nurse.
And we know he's going to listen to this, so we just want to say, Tony, from all of us here in Awesome Towers and from all of the listeners, creators, and just general folk who know you, and trust me, we've had a lot of questions asking if you're okay, so just rest up, get well, and come back kicking more ass than ever. And in a couple of weeks, it'll be like none of this ever happened. But speaking of kicking ass, do you know what else kicks ass, Dan?
The Comic House app?
It does indeed. The app and our lovely sponsors, Comic House. Yes, they are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. Do you know what? I put myself off there because I'm so used to someone else throwing me off just after I started this.
You set yourself up to be thrown off.
Yeah, I know. I was trying so hard to balance that. Yeah, I fell off the beam. Anyway, there's Comic House. There's a huge selection of titles on the database on the website. And yeah, they support small press and indie comics, especially in the UK. And if you self-publish, you can list your book on the site for free. And it's another sort of storefront and a way of getting your books out there and shipping and selling straight away. And it costs almost nothing it's free to list it, and it costs almost nothing whenever you sell a copy as well. But the thing that we always bang on about, and the thing that we use quite a lot, is the Comic House app, which is amazing. They've got a feature section on the site, and also that there's a feature section on the app as well. So what is currently on the app at the moment, Dan?
This featured print indie comics for sale. We've got Flintlock, High Priestess, City of Lost Souls, Toothpick, The Formidable Three, The Catalyst, which I read is ace, Peace of Mind, that's good. Two Kill, that's a strange word, and Cruel Part 2, and Off My Meds and Other Stories.
Did you just say you were off your meds, Dan?
Yeah, I was reading the comic title.
Are you sure?
It does bring the two together. Now, what I've got is undiagnosed, so.
There is no cure for what I have.
What's that from?
I don't know what's that from. What's that from? Oh, God.
Write on a postcard, user address.
Yep. Although postcards would be absolutely pointless in the digital age.
Can I interject a sec?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to say, I absolutely fucking love Comic House. It's just brilliant. I know. Obviously, you know, you're sponsored, and every week you big them up. Which I just think it's ace. It's ace to read stuff. It's ace to have your stuff read.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What a great app. Although this is slightly awkward, Dan, because Vanguard number 16 has just knocked Mahoney's down to fourth place.
Oh no.
So you know, I'm not entirely
not,
sure
not
I feel
best,
about
not
that.
Pleased about that.
Yeah. I'll do my best to get over it, but yeah, it's a great app.
This is going to be
Mahoney's
a spicy
one was
episode.
At the top for a fair old time.
Yeah,
I know. It surprised me as much as anything, but it almost got to the point where it was a little bit embarrassing to see it up there. But
No, it's deservedly so, dude.
I imagine after this show, it probably jump back up to the top because you get a lot of people reading it.
Yeah,
yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
I went out for a few drinks and a curry the other week with a mate of mine called John, and Comic House paid for it. And obviously, you know, none of us are paying off the mortgage or giving up work, I don't think. But it's just nice to think there's a little bit of, you know, people reading your book and a bit of money coming in. It's lovely. Love the website so much.
I mean,
it's so easy to put stuff on it as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if any creators out there, for instance, have books that, you know, that you've sold out your print run, do you know what I mean? And you've got these digital files just lying around gathering. You're not going to do another print run, but you've got those files of your work. Put it on there. Seriously, you literally put it on there because, you know, they make their money. It's a subscription service, and obviously they make their money through advertising stuff, and the ads are nothing. You can get rid of them. you know, you read a book, and I've made more money on Comic House than I ever have on Comixology, and that's nothing. Yep. You know, that's not no bad thing about Comixology because that's another.
But
thing.
It's such a massive marketplace. You're competing with so many things.
Yeah. So and Comic House, obviously they've got a huge database which is always growing at the same time, and books are never taken away, are they? Unless the author takes them away, then they're going to be there. Mm. You know, and as well as like all the great indie titles that we talk about, you know, Rich's stuff's on there. You know, you've got Dynamite titles, you know, some IDW titles as well. There's loads of stuff, and it's only £3 a month, and you get access to all of that on the app. And there's a 14-day free trial as well. But you know, we may be sponsored, but we'd be using it anyway. I mean, we literally do. You know, when we talk about the comics that have been added each week, most of the time we've read a lot of them. So, yeah. And if you do read them, leave a review on them, because it's just, you know, because...
Well, that's the thing. I see, like, sorry.
No, go for it.
Mahoney's did, as you say, did really well on Comic House. It shows me, you know, a few people have said online they read it through Comic House, which is nice, but there's not a single review on there.
Ah, okay.
And I'm guilty of this as well. You read somebody else's book, you really like it, and you just forget to leave a review. And I'm never sure how important those things are, really.
Yeah.
But
the star reviews are interesting, I think, because like I read a lot of stuff on Comixology, you know, and it takes nothing, you know, as soon as I finish the book, the stars come up, don't they? And then you can immediately review it. And I always do that, but rarely. Actually, can you leave a written review on Comixology? I'm not sure if you can.
I'm not sure if you can.
I mean, I never have. Shame on me if you can. But you know, I know on Comic House, I've definitely left a review or two. I should do more, though. I should definitely do more.
Yeah, me too.
Usually I remember and I do a couple of titles, two or three titles.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a fantastic little app. So get on it. So check out comichouse.com. And they'll be appreciative because this is the most coherent that sponsorship ad has been in months. Yes. But other than Comic House, there's been a couple of little events happening recently. Obviously, you lovely people have heard me bang on about Bath Comic Art and Zine Fair recently, which was yesterday as I speak. I'm still recovering from it, partly because of the hot weather. It's too hot in the UK at the moment. I don't want to sound like an old man, but me and Dan usually whinge about it as soon as we start talking to each other.
I've done loads of whinging about the weather this week.
Yeah, but we're going to be positive.
And I'll do loads more.
So but thank you to everyone that came to BAM, exhibitors, visitors, just anyone that showed up on the day. It was great to hang out and see some of you guys and pick up some new books as well. And I was gifted a couple of things, which was lovely. Great to see some of the listeners of the pod turn up. I mean, Sarah Harris, you know, every time we mention her name, an angel gets its wings. But Sarah Harris turned up, and she gave me some pages of artwork that I did briefly talk about today on social media. She's been working with Tony on a project, and I looked at the artwork. She's one of those humble artists. You know what those? You know those ones? You know the ones that say their work is
no good at this.
It's terrible. Good. And then you just think, whatever. And I looked at the page, and I thought, my God. So good. I mean, I'm very fortunate to have the job of like scanning this in for the project that I'm helping put together for Tony and a lot of other creators. So that's brilliant stuff. So it was nice to see her, and and thank you to anyone that like picked up the comics or commission or whatever. And I would have a huge list of all the exhibitors and stuff, but you'd be here for days, and you've heard me waffle on about it for weeks. So, and I'm still decompressing from it. So, yeah, but it was a great day, and yeah, went for dinner afterwards with a whole bunch of them as well. So it was fantastic, and it was nice. Mm. One shout out I'll mention. It was nice to meet Geist Art, who was the creator of a comic book called Tourist, which I talked about. It was a Kickstarter a few months ago. I remember I gave a shout out to the Kickstarter because it was something a bit different, something a bit abstract, kind of a bit. It's hard to describe, and I'm still making notes on it so I can, because it's going to be a recommendation on the show. But yeah, he's a local artist. I didn't know he was until he dropped a little flyer in my hands, and I was like, awesome. You know, it was nice to meet him. And he also picked up a print as well, so thank you very much.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was a great day, and I hope everyone that had a small press day had a great time, whether they were doing something in the local comic book store or whether they were doing an event in a library or wherever you were doing it. Hope it was awesome. It was great to see a lot of people posting about Small Press Day on the actual day. Someone else that did something on the day, which I saw video footage of, that was, oh, mama, was it sexy. That was Dan Butcher, who was doing something that I've wanted to find out more about. I must admit, I came into this news late into the game. I didn't... Shame on me, I didn't know I think this happened last year as well, but what did you do this weekend?
I did Kitchen Con. So you set up a webcam or mm-hmm. a camera, and you just live stream on Twitter your table, con table set up at home, and then just talk to people and answer comments and sell your wares, basically.
And this was, if I'm not mistaken, Tom Ward's
That's right.
Tom Ward, creator of Merrick the Sensational Elephant Man, and the first ever guest on the Awesome Pod.
Yep.
Which is his greatest claim to fame, let's be honest. but it's an idea for those who couldn't make it to a small press event or something like that, isn't it? Or
you know. You could, like, we'd all use the same hashtag, and you click on it, and you can look at all the different people live streaming their tables.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone doing it with me. So I was just sitting at a table talking to the camera for like a better part of an hour.
Yeah, I mean, on your Twitter feed, you can it recorded it, didn't it? It sort of records it, so you can still watch what the stream was afterwards. Because you very kindly sent me a link. I clicked on it, and the first 15 seconds was you just looking at your phone. And because it said live, I thought, is this happening now? Is he actually WhatsApping me as I'm speaking?
Because I had the camera set up, the phone on the camera set up, and that was like, you do a tweet and then you can click on the camera icon and go live. And I was looking on my laptop so I could answer any comments or questions that come up. But there's a delay from when the footage starts to when it comes up on the Twitter feed. So when I go, hey, like that, it's from that point where I've started recording, then suddenly it's caught up and it started showing it live. So I tried it about 3 or 4 times and I couldn't get it to work, and then suddenly it did.
Yeah.
So I was well happy.
And I noticed the way you actually sort of placed the camera, you know, you could, the perfect view of your model-like legs.
Thank you. Yeah, I did change that so I could get a bit more of the books in shot. That's what we were for.
You
sucking on a lollipop,
legs.
That kind of thing?
Should have done. Maybe I'd have got more sales.
But how was it as an experience, though? Because it fascinated, you know, I think this is a great idea. But what was it for, like, taking part in something like that? Was it?
It's interesting. I feel like you're kind of like first step into doing something big. I mean, I think there's something to it.
Yeah,
I mean,
think...
like, doing an online one, and like you have all creators online at a certain time for an hour or whatever, and then you can jump in and out of the stream asking questions, and if everyone organized at the same time, I think it might be an interesting thing to do.
I think you're definitely on. I think you're right there, because I certainly, like I say, I didn't really know about it last year, and this year not only was I aware of it, but I was aware of a lot of the people, for instance, we know. I mean, obviously you're good self, Dan, but like, you know, I saw Tom stream and like Gareth Hopkins as well. There was loads of creators doing it. So I think it's an interesting and quite exciting prospect for next year. Or not necessarily next year. It's the sort of thing, because of the nature of it.
You can do it whenever.
You can do it whenever, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So, you know, how does that free up the creator in the sort of modern, you know, if you just wanted to do like a, just say an online sale, rather than just do it on your website, do a stream for an hour.
Yeah.
To your followers. Like,
it works for me. I hadn't heard of this. It sounds really good, because I'm somebody who, I only ever hit the convention circuit locally, really.
Yeah.
I've got two little kids, and it's just hard. My wife works weekends, so I never get a chance to go, you know, too far afield.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. What was sales like then, Dan?
Zero.
Is it all about just generating interest? And
I think so, yeah. I mean, I kind of approached it. I wasn't really set up to make a lot of sales. I was just kind of like spread the word a bit. What would it should have done is had like a download link, so when people bought something, could send it straight off to them. I think maybe like try and collate all the people into one like interface. So maybe, I'm not sure if you could do something on Twitch where you have like a room you can go into, and there's all the different videos there running, and you can click on one and go into it. So say it was like a group thing. I'm not sure about the Twitch capabilities of doing that, but that'd be fantastic. So rather than having to navigate through the Twitter to get to the various people, if we're all like in one place and you just click on which one you want to go to, that'd be a great idea. Cause then you're there and you're pitching the comic to the camera. If people ask questions, you can answer them. I think just being more personable on camera and to people.
Yeah. And also, like, you can, I don't know, if you've got a like pretty decent following, you know, because we always talk about like artists that have these huge Instagram followings, or, you know, these huge Twitter followings. You know, if they're doing something like this, then loads of people are going to tune into like a Twitch stream and, you know, just asking questions. Because, I mean, a lot of artists do those live streams when they're drawing, don't they? And they say, I'm going to be working live for an hour, ask me anything. You know, maybe turn that into a Q&A / convention, you know, convention table sort of thing. It throws up some definitely interesting ideas. I think it was a brilliant idea of Tom to sort of start this. I think it's something that's only going to get bigger. I can see that this could potentially be big.
If you've got the equipment at home, which if you've got a smartphone, you essentially do have, there's no overheads on it. So.
That's
very, say, like, for instance, I did like the better part of an hour of it yesterday. I didn't make any sales. There's no loss there. It's only a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
And you don't have
if
that.
If somebody would have paid, would you maybe have shown a bit of nits?
Maybe.
I wish I had tuned in live.
Sales to sale, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
true.
Because, there was loads of griefing when Aaron did the Little Heroes one. Do you remember that? He did the discussion on webcomics.
Yeah.
And it was live streamed on YouTube. I was getting a load of shit in the comments on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, it's a shame it wasn't on YouTube when you did yours, Vince. You had to go into Twitch.
I know. It was unfortunate, wasn't it? We had to change how we did it.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
I can only imagine.
I can, yeah. Yeah, if it was bad for you, can you imagine what it would be like for me? Bullying isn't funny, people. Bullying.
I mean, you got to really be doing the bullying to get anything out of it. Being on the not fun. Bully others before they bully you. That's what I say.
Look, we don't condone.
Top tip, kids.
No, we don't condone bullying in any way, shape, or form. Daniel Butcher's opinions are his own, or in no way affiliated with the awesome comic podcast. No, Dan, you're going to get us in trouble again.
I'd just like to say I fully endorse bullying. In all its forms, physical, online, I'm all for it.
I've heard of people like you. You're just going for shock value. You're one of those people that like just says something to get on the front page of the Mail. That's what it is.
It's not. I said earlier. I'm listening to you because I listen every week. I keep forgetting I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm just listening as if I'm just sat at home just listening to the podcast.
And just wondering why the hell am I listening to this shite? But we've got you here now. So yeah.
Sometimes do you be writing while listening?
I'm doodling. I've just drawn a massive.
Pardon?
Hello?
I mean, what? A massive what? Please finish that sentence, Rich. Because
yeah, that's not the right time to stop that sentence, is it?
Yeah.
No, I've just drawn a massive picture of Juggernaut for some reason.
Nice. Yeah, why
you
not?
You say for some reason. What, do you need a reason?
No.
Yeah. Are you a big X-Men fan?
I'm a big Marvel fan. To be like growing up, it was Marvel or nothing with me, really. To the point where, you know, as a kid, you're sort of so Marvel, you're quite anti-DC. And that, you know, because growing up, the news agents was the only place to get the comics. So
yeah.
They only really had Marvel. So it was that or nothing. But discovered, obviously, 2000 AD, as everyone does in the teens.
Yeah.
But yeah, still a Marvel reader through and through.
Think that somewhere down the line, someone said, right, we'll put our UK comics, or Marvel comics in the UK. DC didn't do that. And they got so many people into Marvel in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd imagine a generation of people, you know, in their late 30s, early 40s now, who aren't just Marvel heads because of that.
Yeah, and we were like taking our kids to see the MCU films, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine most people go and they haven't read a fucking comic in their life. So,
don't get me started on that.
But that's a nice sort of segue into our sort of topic for this week, because Rich has been working in the superhero genre for a couple of titles. We haven't really talked too much about the world of capes too much on this show, especially recently. You know, we occasionally just touch on it, and it's more history-wise rather than like modern and certainly independent comics. And considering we've got Dan who's creating Vanguard, which is it's a superhero book, comic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And superheroes literally go through your blood anyway, don't they, Dan? So
yeah.
So we thought, what better time to do a little bit of a superpower discussion? But not just that, something a little bit different as well, because we're going to be talking about, and this we're going to start talking about Mahoney's in a minute, which is Rich's new book. Which is fantastic, but we'll get onto that in a sec. But it's a side of the sort of superpowered world. I don't want to say superheroes, superpowered world that isn't the norm. It's like when you see things from a different sort of perspective, or you put it in a situation or like a sitcom sort of style sort of thing. And I thought that's quite, you know, for me, maybe now that sort of stuff is more interesting to me than. Because there's so many superheroes everywhere, isn't there? You look at Comixology and it's just...
Yeah, you get the same take all the time.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that annoys me. It's like, just do something different with this.
Yeah. And I think that's why the small press, a lot of indie creators steer clear of superheroes as a genre, because obviously the big two and, you know, they've got all that covered. So why would you want to compete?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're seeing a lot of horror books and that kind of thing on the small press. But I think for me, as you say, it's the most popular genre for a reason. So why not work in that? It's what I like to read anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. And they always say write what you'd want to read. But as you say, you can't. There's no point doing a straight superhero because there is too much competition.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to pay £3 to read one of my books when they could pay to read a Spider-Man book. But
yeah,
I think the genre is so well settled in everybody's. You know, so zeitgeisty now, isn't it, with the films? It's like it's so ripe for just twisting around a little bit and flipping it on its head, which is hopefully what I try to do in my books.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit either arrogance or complete and utter ignorance of thinking a single creator is going to take on a cultural phenomenon like Superman or Spider-Man or Batman. Mm. So I'm going to create like a superhero that's a dark Avenger of the night.
Yeah,
and I'm going to knock Batman to the shade. I don't know how anyone could ever. Consider doing that.
But you see a lot of these ones that just like you're just doing a diet version, not even a diet version, like a decaffeinated version of like Batman or less Superman. But you know, even Spider-Man's had quite a lot of sort of. I don't want to say knockoffs, but I tell you what, if you want to make superpowered sort of indie books, if you're an indie creator and you want to make these superpowered books, make whatever you want. That's what you know. That's what we're all about on the show anyway.
Yeah. Have you read one of my books called The Claws?
Yes.
And I think I worried about writing that because it's so clearly a Batman ripoff. And I'm not especially a Batman fan. I'm not, you know, I think it's a bit, you know, it's sort of been there, done that with Batman. But with The Claws, what I try to do is they kill him off. The super the villains all gang together because they're sick of getting beaten up one by one. So they gang up and take him all sort of 10 on one, and they kill him off on page 7 of the book. And it's all about what happens then when the villains take over, what happens to Gotham after you get rid of Batman, because I think, to me, that's a bit more of an interesting take. But then my twist, I mean, spoiler alert if you haven't read it, but my twist is that the Bruce Wayne figure, he's not actually dead. So the Bruce Wayne figure sort of comes back in and becomes one of the bad guys. He joins their group. So he realizes he can't take them on as Batman. So he tries to take them down as Bruce Wayne. You only find out on the last page that actually
this is the
Bruce Wayne figure.
Yeah. See, that's but again, fine, but... You're playing with it, but you're not kind of trying to introduce the Batman substitute and just tell a straight Batman story.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It's almost like a what if. It's taking that really familiar world that there's no point adding to or trying to do a different, you know, version of that. It's just twisting it around and as I say, trying to do a bit of a what if on it.
And like certainly with the superhero genre, like every sort of, well, it feels like every character has been created, every costume design has been done, you know. So when you're doing an indie book, and you see so many indie superheroes and the way they look, at, you know, especially if they've got a singular title to themselves, sometimes they don't always stand out because they just look like everything else, you know.
A lot of
these indie books, and I don't have any specific in mind, but you just see the hero on the front cover and they look like a background player in just a hero, you know, just another book of some kind, right? Rather than being like, this is the title about this particular person. And that's not, I think it can work brilliantly. I mean, one of Dan's favourite titles of all time is, of course, Invincible, which is, I think, one of the best superhero runs, you know, especially.
Oh, superb. Yeah. Amazing.
But so even that was doing things in a completely different way. It was taking a standard trope, wasn't it? And that was how it sort of, it drew you in with things that you thought you knew, and then Jane changes it up, doesn't it?
So I think those first, I think it's maybe 5 issues, the first 5 issues of Invincible, you think, okay, this is good, you know, it's nicely polished, it's quality, but it's not until that bit where the dad sort of takes out the Justice League and it just flips it 180. You're like, okay, this is something new.
Yeah.
This is something different, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's what you have to do with it, indie sort of superpower books, isn't it? You have to give another sort of slice. If you're doing something that you've been reading in Marvel or DC or whatever publisher, you know, for years now, and you're not bringing anything new to the table, then why are people going to buy your book when they could just pick up their standard Marvel or DC book?
Yeah.
Whereas,
but then you get your fucking crybabies, don't you? When you did Superior Spider-Man, didn't you, a few years ago?
Yeah.
And you're not really going to find a bigger Spider-Man fan than me, but the amount of backlash, but you're still looking for something different. So and that storyline came along, you're like, oh yeah, bring it. You know, it sounds really interesting. And obviously, you know, it's going to go back to Spider-Man eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. But people talk like it's not, though, do they? People talk like it was going to be permanent, and you just sort of think, have you never read comics in your life?
Yeah. Never permanent. They always change back.
Yeah.
It's weird because you have a lot of people like, we want something different, and then you get something different. It's like, oh, it's too different. It's, why have you changed it? It's kind of like you can never really win.
But I think that's why Kirkman's books were good, like Walking Dead and Invincible, because change is permanent in that.
Yeah,
that's quite refreshing.
That's one of the things I like about it so much, is they carried on moving the stories forward all the time. They'd always change and always be something different, and there would be ramifications from issue to issue.
Yeah.
Like I've mentioned this somewhere else, but like in one issue of Invincible, you go 10, 12 down the line, the characters are different and they've changed because of what's happened to them in the comic, which is so much more interesting than characters being stuck in a seemingly like never changing environment. Mm.
That's something good
for Kirkman for knocking it on the head as well.
He
was just finished The Walking Dead and just thought, you know, I could drag this out, and then you sort of become the thing that you're, you're breaking the rules by having permanent change. But if you keep going and going and going, then you're just going to be on issue 600, and you just, you know, that element of shock is gone then, hasn't it?
Yeah. The ending of Invincible is fantastic. I don't know if you could write it any better. It's so good.
But then somebody like Dredd is, you know, the changes in Dredd throughout the years. You know, he's aging in real time, isn't he? And, you know, they'll refer back to the Apocalypse War, and you're like, that's 30 years ago, but it still has ramifications in the storylines today. I think something like Dredd is just genius, and it just shows you that you can have a certain amount of change without it, you know, making the character stale.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the criticisms, you know, it's the blanket criticism of the big two, isn't it? It's sort of like, well, this character died. Well, it doesn't matter. They're going to be back in, like, 6 months or something like that. And
I think, like, the comics suffer with the same thing with The Simpsons of, like, everyone's stuck where they are. You can't change this. Mm. So you can only tell a certain amount of stories.
Yeah. Which is why I think when someone does, like, I think Superior Spider-Man is a perfect example of it. That was such a sea change in how things were done for that character that it just felt like a completely different world. And, I loved it reading it. You know, I hadn't read much Spidey until that came. You know, that brought me back to Spidey for a good couple of years because it was fascinating. I knew it wasn't going to end, but I was going to...
Yeah.
It was the ride. That's the whole point, isn't it? You know it's going to end.
Yeah.
What do you think about the clone saga with Spider-Man? Because that was ill-received.
It was ill-conceived as well. Yeah. It was just dog shit, wasn't it? I mean, I think, about 15. And again, I Spider-Man for me was that McFarlane into the sort of Eric Larson years, into the Bagley years.
And
David Mitchell, I don't know how the fuck you say his name, David Michelinie or whatever. Those were classic superhero stuff. So I grew up on that in, you know, 12, 13, 14, reading that stuff. The artwork was amazing. The stories were amazing. Clone Saga, it just went on, and it didn't seem to have a sort of editorial direction, and I know there's a lot been written about it, but for me, it did. I carried on reading it because I loved the character, but fucking hell, it was tough going when you're 15, 16, because it was like, he's not the real one, then he is, and then Gwen Stacy comes out, and you're just like, oh, Jesus, this is like such a mixed bag of storylines, but nobody seemed to know where it was going.
Yeah.
I just felt the idea of fucking with the hero's origin and saying the spider you've known for these years isn't that the real one.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, oh, do you want to do this? It's kind of, because if it's all that's established, you can F around with the present and then bring it back. But if you start tampering with the roots a bit too much.
Well, speaking of tampering with the roots, when fucking Ben Reilly had that blonde hair, I thought, I'm out.
Yeah.
Scarlet Spider did have a badass costume, though. I will say that.
I wasn't a fan of that costume.
I don't know why. It was just red with a blue hoodie, wasn't it? But I don't know.
It was a hoodie with no sleeves.
It's kind of an odd one.
It's just one of those costumes that I don't know. I just liked at the time.
Fair enough. It was very 90s with the kind of like the ripped.
Oh yeah, super 90s.
Yeah.
But
you rip all the arms off all your hoodies anyway, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, usually.
I love throwing a bomb at him and seeing how he's going to do it. He's going to handle it.
Let's swing it around from superhero talk to Mahoney's.
Yes.
This is more superhero talk.
Supervillains.
Yeah, supervillains. Yes. I remember talking about Mahoney's on a previous show. It must have been quite a while ago. But I really enjoyed it.
This is a different side to like the superhero world, and you're introduced to a superhero world through a different sort of group of people. So what is like Mahoney's for those that don't know?
It's very firmly set in a recognisably sort of superheroic world, but it just doesn't focus on the superheroes because, well, let's face it, they're I've never thought the heroes are as interesting as the bad guys. You know, Batman's cast and Superman's cast of villains, they're way more interesting usually than the hero. So I decided to focus on that. So Mahoney's is effectively, it's set in a bar for supervillains, and there's no superheroes in it. So it's like Cheers meets something with supervillains, I guess.
I can definitely see the Cheers reference, so much so that we saw a preview of issue 2, and it does say at Mahoney's where nobody knows your name. And
I thought,
I thought, awesome.
Because they've all got secret identities, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look carefully in issue 1, there's a TV screen in the background that's got Cheers on it in one little panel. There's a little sort of Easter egg.
Are you a fan of Cheers?
Yeah, I enjoyed Cheers at the time.
You just thought this needs more supervillains. Is that what you thought when you watched it?
No, I just enjoyed the idea of supervillains hanging out. And of course, where else are you going to do that apart from a pub? So it just seemed like a natural fit. But then Mahoney's is run by a guy called Mike Mahoney, and he's a retired supervillain. And we sort of find out in issue one what got him out of the game. But he just opens a bar, and it's populated by these supervillains just relaxing in their downtime. But they're still quite... It's a sitcom, really, I think, as you alluded to earlier. It's a comedy, which is that sort of stickiest of wickets, really, isn't it? It's a difficult one to get right. But, yeah, it seems to be going down quite well. And, you know, as I said, it did well on Comic House, and issue two is just complete now. Hot off the presses, really.
And I think it's got a real charm to it as well. I mean, like we say, because we've read superhero comics, we're familiar with that world. You already feel comfortable as soon as you're reading it. But you haven't gone too crazy with your cast as well. When people think of something like, oh, it's going to be a bar for supervillains, let's just fill it with loads and loads and loads of characters. Whereas the first issue isn't so much about that, is it? It's like, you know, your core sort of like Mahoney himself, and, you know,
you got a new guy.
Their powers, and their, you know, there's sort of allegories. There's a guy with flame powers, there's a guy with ice powers, there's a character called She-Lion, and she's got sort of feline, Wolverine-esque powers, etc. So there's nothing, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, and the characters are sort of recognisable superhero and supervillain tropes, really. Like there's two characters called Night Cowl and Captain Superior, who are very obvious allegories of two other well-known superheroes who I won't mention in case I get sued.
That's fairly classic, though, isn't it? I mean, for instance, something like The Boys is a classic example of, you know, taking pretty much every superhero sort of character that you read in that was a version of, you know, it was obviously like a completely hyper version of something we had already known, and then twisted.
Which was refreshing, and it's it makes sense. You get a character like Butcher just ploughing his way for 60 whatever issues that was. You could almost feel the glee in Ennis's writing, just sort of getting to bump these obvious characters off. And it was definitely an enjoyment in watching reading it. I was going to say the TV show's coming out now, isn't it?
I love The Boys. I think it definitely had some, because of the nature of those arcs, it had some peaks and troughs that, you know, there was always one arc was absolutely stunning, and then the next one would be, it's a bit of shock for the shock's sake, I think, which falls on some of Ennis's stuff. But I will say that it's got one of the most heartbreaking sort of final arcs of any sort of series I've read. It stuck with me, those last sort of six issues and what happens. No spoilers. But
there's a moment where that's really stuck with me from that. So I think it's Jack from Venus or whatever it is, the Martian Manhunter ripoff.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what happens, but he kills Butcher's dog, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I think Butcher just pins, he just grabs him up against the wall and just starts stabbing him to death. And he's just like, Butcher's face is just totally emotionless.
Yeah.
I remember reading that just thinking, fuck it. I know Ennis doesn't pull any punches anyway, does he? But I remember reading that and thinking, Jesus, that's pretty dark.
Yeah.
That's how it gets very dark.
Yeah, that's how it gets you. You'll laugh at something and then be like, oh my God. I'm not going to sleep tonight. But whereas Mahoney's has a lighter sort of tone, doesn't it, really?
I like to think it's a comedy at the end of the day, so hopefully there's some laughs in there. But I like to think there's plenty of heart as well, because the characters all like each other. There's no sort of soap opera dramas. It's just like, I guess, like the cast of Cheers. You had Cliff, you had Norm, etc.
Yeah.
And you've got a bunch of people who just really are quite affectionate towards each other. And I think when I was writing it, I was binge watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and you think there's no it's a family unit. Nobody's the victim. Yeah. Nobody's horrible to other. You know, you've got like 8, 9, 10 whatever core cast, and it's just a lot of heart there. You just got characters interacting with each other and liking each other. And I thought, I want to sort of go for that. I don't want the easy comic relief. I don't want the sort of, even though these are supervillains, I didn't want them to just be sort of shitty people, really, because you wouldn't watch Cheers if, you know, the main cast. Yeah, if everyone was an arsehole, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, people do get a sick pleasure out of following the villain as well, don't they? I think it's
fun. Well, me personally, I've always found them more interesting since day one. I used to collect He-Man figures when I was a kid. I'd get all the supervillains, and I'd give a fuck about the superheroes. Well, not superheroes, but, you know, the big man at arms and all manny faces. He can get fucked. It was all about Beast Man and Trapjaw for me. they're just way more interesting.
Yeah. It's like you can kind of essentially, like, the imagination can go a bit more wild with the kind of the bad guys, like their design.
Off a bit, aren't they?
Yeah, because you're trying to think outside the norm and get them to do something a bit more edgy and dangerous and not conform.
Yeah.
So I can see the appeal.
Yeah. And I think you're definitely right about comedy.
It's more interesting sandbox for me. Yeah. Say again, Vince.
And you're definitely right about the comedy, and I think this gets comedy right. I mean, because it has that, it's a very dialogue, well, not dialogue heavy, because it crackles along. But, you know, it's characters talking to each other. When we talk about, like, you know, superhero books and stuff, you immediately think there's going to be explosions and there's all these, like, splash pages and stuff. But this is a character. This is a character book.
Yeah.
I think it's dialogue heavy because, well, particularly issue one, takes place pretty much just in the bar. There's a few flashbacks, a few bits and bobs, but there's no 5 pages of dialogueless explosions and action and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, there's still, like, the brilliant visual cues. I mean, I love the rules of the bar. Number one, no credit. You're all supervillains, so by definition, you're not good for it. Which I just love stuff like that. It definitely amps up with issue two as well, because you introduce something that it sort of brought to mind. There was a definite, I was reminded of, like, things like The Tick. Were you a big, like, follower of, like, The Tick?
To be honest, no. Well, I can see the parallels because I'm vaguely aware of The Tick, but to be honest, I never read it. It's not something that was ever on my radar. I remember the cartoon more than I remember the book. Yeah, I could never get a copy of the book. I remember the cartoon. I remember the sort of wacky villains, etc. But I think in terms of influence, it was things like Banana Man, to be honest. There's a real little kid. No, do you remember the Nutty? Do you used to get the Nutty?
No.
I'm not sure my age now.
No, I was around with Banana Man. I can't remember watching it too much. But was that one of the bad guys?
No, Nutty was the comic that Banana Man was in.
Oh, okay.
Like a weekly comic. So I used to get that, and it was just like Captain Custard and Appleman and just these ridiculous villains. But I think just back then, and we're talking like 6, 7 years old, reading The Nutty and just thinking, that's way more interesting than anything else.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's where it comes from. But no, The Tick, I should probably try and dig some out. Because another influence, do you ever read a comic, there was only a handful of them, it was like 13 issues. You ever read Major Bummer?
Yeah, I've got the first 3 or 4 of those.
Yeah, that was a bit of an influence, I think.
Yeah.
Doug Mank, was it?
Yeah, and his artwork is fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He certainly does beefcakes, doesn't he? He does muscular guys pretty well. John Arcudi, I think, wrote it, sorry.
I think I remember an animated episode of The Tick where he goes to a superhero bar. Or nightclub.
Yeah, and that's the one where the sidekicks are in a shed just to the side, aren't they? Yeah.
Because that echoes what we do in Shadows. There's the familiar, or the... is it the familiar room they go to?
Yeah, the familiar room, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just
it's got a couple of buckets for toilets.
Back room, yeah.
But the thing that brought The Tick to mind, well, only loosely to mind, was the second issue of Mahoney's. It takes it out of the bar a little bit. And it's all sort of centered around like an awards show, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a character called the Professor, and he's a generic sort of mad scientist, and he puts a chronostasis bubble around a venue. So the bad guys, they line up outside Mahoney's, go through this portal, and they just take over a sort of swanky events venue for the night, and it's the 12th annual KP, so it's like the Oscars for supervillains. So there's categories like best superhero humiliation and best one-liners and that kind of thing. And again, it's just it's playing genre tropes that we all know, but just sort of having a bit of fun with them, and really.
This was, I must say, like this comic made me laugh out loud. Like with some of the, because you have the interaction between the characters in between, like the sort of the each award, but when they're announcing like the nominations for the awards, and you actually see, it's a lovely way of breaking up the issue as well. You'll have the ongoing drama sort of comedy going on, and then there'll be an award for it's the best superhero humiliation. And I mean, that page already made me laugh. Yeah, all these villains, like what they did to humiliate a superhero.
Yeah. And
immediately, I do not want to spoil any of this for you people, because I went into it cold and I was like, this is genius. This is absolute genius. And I thought it was a great idea that I was surprised. I thought, I haven't seen this done. You know, this seems so obvious, but I haven't seen this done before. You know, especially...
Do you know what the main influence was on issue two? Do you ever remember Fred Hembeck did a sort of a one-off Fantastic Four, like a roast of the Fantastic Four?
No, I'm not familiar with that one, no.
And it was like a load of guest artists, but like people would come up to the podium and just roast the Fantastic Four and say how good they were, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Just remember reading that as a kid, and all the Marvel heroes were there. Oh, it's a phenomenal book.
Yeah,
but that idea of, you know, superheroes just doing a normal thing, like all hanging out, having dinner together, or going to like an award ceremony, that was always something interesting, because it's like, well, of course they would. They're not just going to fight all the time. Of course they might have a little, like Ben Grimm would have his poker nights, wouldn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And well, certainly with like the capies and stuff, there's a definite. I mean, supervillains are also about arrogance and ego, aren't they? So they're all about winning something, and like, you know, it just made me laugh. And also good to see all the different sort of character designs as well. It's a real chance for like the art to really sort of step forward, isn't it? Mm. And like Brian Dawson,
I really like his art. I've got to say,
it's just phenomenal. I mean, to be honest, when I first started Mahoney's, it was going to be a bit darker, because I'd done six issues of The Guys, which was a very sort of light comedy that I wrote and drew, I wrote well and drew badly. But that was a straight up comedy. And then with Mahoney's, I thought, I'm going to go a bit dark. It's about supervillains. It's in a bar. I'm going to go dark. But as soon as I got working with Brian and I saw his stuff, it's so beautifully sort of animated. And it's just phenomenal. Every time I get a page through from him, and it just blows my mind. I spend literally a couple of 3 minutes and I'm just staring at it. And the amount of detail he puts into the backgrounds, the character designs, absolutely phenomenal.
And the facial work for comedy is hugely important. The way a character will look
at each other. Really got to nail it.
Yeah, have to nail it. And like, there's so many moments in this that are just, you know, you're already smiling at the artwork before you've even read what the sort of joke is.
Yeah, but again, like with issue one, like we say, there's very little action. So for an artist, he might be frustrated, thinking, well, can I just draw 5 pages of fights or whatever?
Yeah.
But yeah, he sells it so amazingly. And all the little, to be quite honest, aren't in the script. The little body languages, the little gestures, the mannerisms, as you say, the facial expressions, that's all on him. Because... He's an amazing guy. He's a real friend. We met him online about a year ago, and he lives in the States. And we got in a, certainly not an argument, but it was a little bit of a discussion about creator, who created Mahoney's. And he weirdly was trying to say, no, you're 100% the creator. And I was trying to say to him, no, I'm not having that. You're 50% the creator. So we got into this sort of battle of wills, but he's put so much into it, from character designs to sort of just creating that world of Mahoney's, that there's no two ways. It's a total 50-50 split. So he's credited in issue two as creator, which to my mind, he absolutely is.
I mean, I can see why. I mean, when you have like, when there's all these villains lining up outside the bar to obviously get to this award, you know, this is probably I don't know. I don't know how detailed your scripts are, but you know, a couple of sentences just sort of saying that, you know, a group of supervillains are lined up outside the bar, you know, to go in. He's definitely designed all of these individual. You know, I look at it and I kind of want to know. I mean, I see one that looks like Maul from Wildcats, which immediately makes me laugh. But he's taken into account like what the script says as well. Like, there's a character called Hellator, who's near the front of the queue. And he's hoping that they serve the ribs again, even though he's got no digestive system, which made me laugh.
But to be honest, that wasn't in the script. And Hellator wasn't a character. And he's literally only in that one panel. Yeah. But Brian sends these pages through, and they're so super detailed. And he's done these character designs. Like, it certainly doesn't say in the script, oh, there's a skeleton-based character. So that's all on Brian. So then I think, well, that character deserves a name. That character deserves a sort of... a line of dialogue.
So with a panel is it was just the narration of all the villains lined up, and he's added bits that all of a sudden you're like, I can add some more jokes to this?
100%. We're really, there's a real synergy between us, definitely. We're both on the same page, no pun intended, but it's almost Marvel style, because there is a script. And the dialogue doesn't change too much, but my panel descriptions are limited. I don't really subscribe to the over detailed, you know, Alan Moore style panel descriptions. Mm, but
I think that's best too.
Yeah, I think it's better for me because I've got to write less, and it's better for the artist because they've got a bit more freedom. But with somebody like Brian, whose work is just so visually stunning. I trust him, so I can write very vague panel descriptions, and I know that he's going to nail it. And then it forces me then to add little things on top because he's gone to so much detail in the background.
Yeah,
but honestly, you know, finding Brian was just he's charged me up creatively like you wouldn't believe.
I can imagine, and he's definitely someone who's got a love for the genre as well, which I think. It's very important with your collaborator, you know, especially if you've come up with an idea for a concept and then you shop out for an artist, say, I do think it's important to get someone that is on the wavelength, that is going to bring something to it. Rather, I mean, of course, there's always the people that are just like, yeah, pay me and I'll do the work.
But yeah.
Then they won't be able to bring those little elements that, you know, those little golden moments that you wouldn't normally see, you know.
Yeah, I've worked with a few people in the past, sort of work for hire, and you know, they've turned in the pages and they've been paid and fine. And I've tried to sort of say, hey, look, here's a positive review I've had in this magazine, and you get nothing back. You're like, okay, fine, I get it. You know, you work for hire. But with Brian, we're totally in it, totally invested. He's done so much more work than he needed to make Mahoney's. He's invested, and We're just moving on to a four-part epic at the minute after issue two, because we realised issue two is very much played for laughs. So we thought we'd just go a little bit more sort of serious. There's way more fight scenes and this kind of thing. But long story short, there's an alien invasion in issue three. All the superheroes get this big sort of you know, crossover style, all the superheroes come out, but they basically get beaten, and the aliens defeat all the heroes and take over the Earth. So who's left to sort of try and get everybody out of it? But the bad guys left in the bar. So it's this great big sort of epic with, you know, space aliens and big superhero fights and stuff. So that's what's coming up. Yeah.
Nice. So to go from like single sort of issues to then plan like a three-issue epic. What's that learning been like for your like creative collaboration process as well? Because you know, a single sort of issue is a different, completely different beast entirely, isn't it? To three issues in a row.
Yeah, and in my experience as well, you know, it's selling stuff is easier, I think, to do a one and done because on the smaller press, you're not going to get your next issue next month. So if you do a cliffhanger or to be continued next issue kind of thing, it's like, well, that might be fucking 6, 12, 18 months before you see issue two. So that was always a harder sell. But I think the success of issue one of Mahoney's has fired us up, made us realise that there's an audience for it, for the book. Issue two, the Kickstarter is coming out on Monday, so we'll see how that does, but hopefully that's going to do okay. And it's just making us think, well, we've got to strike while the iron's hot with this book. We've got this story, we've got this four-part epic running through issues 3 to 6, so we're just going to try and get it out there as quickly as possible. Not rush it, obviously, but just strike while the iron's hot rather than waiting another 12 months for issue 3 to come out.
Yeah. So there's a Kickstarter for this issue that we've obviously just read, just going live now as we speak, I guess.
If we're talking about Monday,
yes,
we are. Yeah. So it's coming out today, which is Monday.
On the 15th.
Cool. That's,
yeah.
Excellent.
That is unbelievable timing.
Yeah, it is good timing for this.
Yeah. So we can say, people, that they've got the issue done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's always something I've said to myself. I'll never go to Kickstarter and expect people to pay now and wait 6 months for a book to come out, because I think I don't understand that mentality, really. If I back a Kickstarter, I want it sort of shipped within a couple of weeks of me paying it. I don't want to be...
Fair enough.
I know a lot of people do, and that is what it is, but for me, I just think I'm not going to go to Kickstarter until the issue is finished.
Yeah,
because a lot of people use like a pre-order system for their comic, and then once it gets the money, then they put it into production. But I guess I can see the benefit of just essentially you've got it all ready to rock and roll, and just the money comes in, pays for it, boom, out it goes.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely well worth it. There will, of course, be a link in the show notes, people, for this Kickstarter campaign, which I was totally unaware of when we started talking. So, you know, I was
so
just...
So will people be able to buy it online when it goes... It's going on Kickstarter tomorrow, on Monday.
Yeah. It's going on Kickstarter on Monday.
Yes.
It's going to run for the month, and then that'll be it then. Well, we've got a website, but it's under construction, so... Pretty much Kickstarter is going to be the only place you can get it from for at least, you know, however long. Physical copies,
yeah,
it's a really good read. I really recommend people
really good
it.
Read and obviously you lovely Comic House subscribers no doubt have already read issue one, so you're gonna be clamoring for the second issue as well.
So
I can see this doing well. So but in terms of like convention stuff, you say you don't get a chance to get out to many. Have you got any lined up for this year, or what's your future convention plans for your work?
Well, I live in just outside Solihull in the Midlands, so my wife she's a midwife, she tends to work shifts on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I've got a six and four year old just sort of it's very, very difficult for me to get to the cons.
Yeah.
But I'm doing... So I tend to do the local ones. So I'm doing Not Another Comic Con in a couple of weeks. I think that's on the 5th of August in Birmingham City Centre. And then I'll be at Leamington in October, I believe.
Ah, so you're going to be at Leamington.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. We'll be there too.
Ah, we'll be there
too. Yeah, I met you there last year. It was good.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. And,
really nice venue in that church.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Really good. Obviously, listeners will probably recognise Rich because Dan interviewed him on that day, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Your roving...
I did the awesome comics talk. I got to draw. Was it not the claws? It was the guys.
You drew the guys. Yeah, I've still got that. Absolutely. Yeah. Great job. You're the only person who's ever drawn them aside from myself. And in that one image, it was instantly better than the 200 pages I've got.
Don't put yourself down, for God's sake.
I'm a good for doing that.
Yeah. Have you ever...
I had to go at Vanguard. Not Vanguard. He did a draw. I can't remember.
Was it Vibe?
I love that art exchange stuff.
Yeah.
I'd probably do one.
Yeah.
Do a couple times a year for me.
Yeah, we should do another one, shouldn't we? On the group somewhere. Have you had any like Mahoney's fan art? Yeah.
No.
Oh,
I'll say next time you want a cover done, give me a shout because Vince said I'd be good for it, and I'd love to do one.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, we could do a variant for issue 2, 100%.
Oh, nice one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard it first. Heard it here,
speaking of which, as well, I'm just going to give a shout out as well. With issue 2, speaking about Leamington, I go out drinking in Leamington with a pal of mine, and there's a bar called The Drawing Board, and it's just opposite the park in Leamington, and their theme is comics and comic books, and it's a really cool bar. You go in, there's comic books in frames all up the stairs, comic theme throughout. The guy's got original props from the Superman movies on the wall. And
nice.
Then if you go upstairs, there's a little bar area upstairs, and there's a bookshelf full of old annuals, 2000 AD, all sorts of stuff, and you can just sit and just read comics, and it's this really cool bar. So I got in touch with the manager, a guy called Sam, and I said, look, you know, I write a comic set in a bar. You run a bar based on comics. How do you feel about maybe sponsoring Mahoney's? And we got talking, and basically what's going to happen, he's going to sponsor us, so we're going to do a variant cover for issue 2 featuring their logo for the drawing board. But what I went and took a load of pictures, took about 100 odd photos of the bar, and that's now incorporated into Mahoney's. So their real life bar is now the actual bar in the background of Mahoney. So they're sponsoring us. Yeah, it's
that's really a lovely touch.
Really exciting. Yeah. And it was good for Brian because he was saying, you know, the artist said I could do with some reference to know what the bar looks like. But then, you know, it's cool for that, for the drawing board to get a little bit of, you know, something. It's got its own sort of comic, if you like. That's a nice little partnership we've got.
Yeah, nice one.
That's awesome. That's great, that is. So, and also it means, like, if anyone's going to Leamington Comic Con this year, they should check this place out because it sounds awesome.
It's a really cool bar. And he's a nice guy. His dog's called Bisley because he's a fan of Simon Bisley. And it's just, yeah, man, it just made sense to sort of think, well, yeah, comics and booze go together quite nicely.
I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners who know exactly what you mean.
Nodding furiously.
So in terms of, like, getting hold of, like, Mahoney's, like, issue 1 and stuff, of course, your other stuff, where can people sort of get your work as we speak? Because you're only on
tricky one, really.
you're not on Twitter and stuff, are you?
I am on Twitter, but I'm not an active, I'm fucking garbage on social media. I go on it and I'm what do you call it, like a lurker, isn't it? So I look at what other people are doing. I just never get around to posting. As I say, there is a Hardline Comics website, but it's not live yet. Just go on Facebook, look up Hardline Comics. I'm there.
And you got
Instagram.
You're on the Instagram, are you? I'm trying to get more.
I'm on Instagram, CarringtonRich100, Twitter at RichardCarty100. I don't know. I'm garbage at selling. I don't really. Honestly, if you see me at a convention, I'd rather just talk to you about comics. I want to stand there and talk to you, and selling this stuff's like an afterthought, really. But I know I've got to get way better at the social media thing, but it's just not my my bag. That's if you want to read the stuff, all the stuff, it's on Comic House, the app. Or if you want to buy a copy, I don't know, just get in touch through Facebook or something.
Get in touch with him or go up to his table at one of these shows, you know.
Yeah, and expect to be spoken to about comics for about 20 minutes, and then I'll make a hard sell.
Yeah, make a hard sell. Either that, or people be like, "I just want to buy your book. I just want to buy your book."
You know, in every convention, there's always a handful of fucking super nerds who just want to come around your table and talk comics. And normally, you can see other people get fed up with them, just like either buy some or go fuck off. I'm the one. And they start to moonwalk away from me. I'm like, no, come back. It's all about comics.
Sound like James McCulloch.
Yeah,
Johnny Cannon.
Yeah,
you're going to buy.
But then you get the people. I remember a woman came up to me because there was a review in Mahoney's not so long ago, which accused us of being a bit misogynistic. Which I don't know. I mean, to be fair, there is only one female character in Mahoney's, and she's kind of in love with Mike, which is, you know, it fails the Bechdel test on every level, really. But she came up to my table and she said, "Oh, what's this? What's this? A comic called The Guys?" She said, "I'm a woman. Why should I read this?" I said, "Well, you fucking probably shouldn't." I was just, I'm not misogynistic at all. It's very difficult, you know, being in a house full of girls. You know, I'm just, it's ridiculous, but this misogyny thing, I don't know, it's we've taken it on board, but the character in Mahoney, She Lion, she's going to take a much bigger part of center stage, which she would have anyway. But yeah.
Generally have issues with when people make comments like that, in as much that every story doesn't have to incorporate everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need to write a story where you tick, "Oh, I've got that character covered," tick, "I've got that minority covered," tick, "I've got this covered." Like, you can tell a story about one person and it can just be about one thing. It doesn't have to include everything. It's frustrating when you kind of get this forced on people telling stories. Tell the stories you want to tell. If someone else wants to tell a story covering something, you're all within your rights to kind of to do it. So that was an interesting one. Yeah,
I don't get the misogyny thing.
No, me neither.
For Mahoney's myself, Mahoney's. And also I also think these are all a group of bastards at the end of the day. Let's not forget they're all supervillains.
Yeah. Like bitches.
If someone's saying something that's slightly off color, you're not supposed to like these people.
Yeah, they're bad guys.
Yeah,
they're kind of.
And when you see a superhero in it, when you see the Captain Superior, for instance, especially in, like issue one, just from his dialogue, you think, well, he's a good bloke. You know, you know he's the good guy, and he'd never. You know, you would, if you had him saying these sort of things, then you got a problem. Then you're not being true to that particular type of character.
The lead character is like a rogue with a heart of gold. He's kind of had a change of ways, and he's actually quite decent, even though it's almost like
he still wants to be seen as more of a villain than he actually really is now, isn't he? That sort of.
It's like Zangief says out of Wreck-It Ralph. It's like, "You're the bad guy." Doesn't mean you're the bad guy.
I think with Mahoney, you still feel safe there. You'd still want to drink with these people. It's not an edgy, like somebody who's going to put a knife in your back kind of den of thieves kind of thing. It's, you know, a lot of the characters are, well, it's a comedy, you know, they're lighthearted, lovable characters. Yeah. They just happen to...
And that's what I like about it. There's a lightness to the comedy. When so many superhero things now, you know, you're talking death and grimness. Yeah. And that's good to a point. You know, there's always a time and a place for those sort of darker stories. But this is, you know, even though you're dealing with supervillains, there's a lightness to it that genuinely like made me laugh from page to page. So, yeah, it's definitely... I don't always look for superhero... type work in the independent comic scene, I must say, but yeah, your stuff is definitely stuff that people should check out.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, just from the writing, you just think that this is someone who clearly knows what they're talking about and is doing it well. So yeah, keep up the good work.
Cheers, man.
Well, that's why we got you on. You know.
Yeah.
We well, as I say, I honestly, if I had the choice of talking about my own books or somebody else's, I'd be somebody else's all day long. I'm not very good at marketing, but while I've got you, buy my books.
Yeah, well, Rich is going to be recommending something very soon when we get to that section of the show. And we'll let you know, obviously, where to get the Kickstarter and stuff also at the end, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed that bit of superpower talk. I feel like we could do this all night because we're all superhero fans here. And Jesus, if Tony was here, we'd be here for days because he's the encyclopedia of superhero books.
He did send us a message just before we went on air about something that happened while he's in the hospital. And I'm sure he's going to regale us with the story because it sounds fucking great.
I cannot wait. But do we have any shout-outs this week?
I do.
Go for it, Dan.
Got a Kickstarter launched by a friend of the show, Dean Beatty. Bad Words, an illustrated book of crime-related poetry. Filled with, I guess it's not strictly a comic, but it's filled with Dean's lovely illustrations. And it's literally just started today. So nice. We'll put the link in the show notes for that one. But that looks like a corker.
Have you watched the video for it?
I haven't, no, not yet.
It's quite funny. It does make, yeah.
Is it his friend reading some of the poems?
Yeah, it's one of the poems that just made me laugh. Nice one. Short, sharp, and to the point. Dean's got such a great sense of humour anyway. It's good to see, you know. I know this has been in the pipeline for quite some time, hasn't it? And he's got some great artists like doing sort of pieces for it as well. It's going to be a gorgeous book.
It's got a great dark sense of humour, Dean. Yeah, it's well worth investing in.
Yeah. You know, is it one of the only times we've promoted a poetry book on this?
Could well be. Tony's mentioned some, is it poetry or play? He's definitely mentioned some classic literature.
Well, he's the Tony, highbrow one of us, isn't he?
Yeah.
That
says it all.
Yeah. We're the ones who we live in the gutter, but we're looking to the stars.
The stars. Yeah. That's, and you quote Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
And what am I doing now? You left me. I'm out of my depth.
I'm sorry, Dan.
That's all right.
Yeah. Do you want me to bring it back down to earth?
Nah, it's all right. It's fine.
No. Oh, come on, dude. You're usually the one who uses the big words.
No, I'm joking.
He uses the big words on this show. You know that. What?
Swat up before I come online. Yeah. And then...
Have you got a particular big word you'd like to use this week, Dan?
No. Usually it's just in the vocabulary. I can't call them up on demand.
So you'd be shit on Countdown, is that what you're saying?
Oh, God, yeah. I think any kind of quiz show, it wouldn't be very good.
I reckon you'd be good. I just wouldn't be good at the maths bit of Countdown.
I wouldn't be as good as John Late on the Tipping Point. He got to the second to last round, didn't he?
What's that?
John Late was on the Tipping Point.
Oh, yeah,
of course
I remember
he was,
like that.
Yeah. That sexy bastard.
Yeah, he done good.
Yeah. Who'd have thought? He had a face for radio. No, I'm only joking.
I think if they did a small press calendar, I reckon Late would be Mr. January, wouldn't he?
Yeah. start strong.
Big
best
slab of beef
front.
On the first page. Yeah.
Big slab of beef. Oh dear. I hope he still listens to this show.
I hope he doesn't now after what I've just said.
Have we got any other shouts?
I did have another one, but I can't recall it.
Can't recall it.
Which is great. Yeah. I mean, this is why you should take notes on stuff. Because you just like flounder on fucking air. Makes it look like a bell end.
Can I give a shout out?
Of course you
can. Of course.
Just to Brian Dawson, the artist on Mahoney's. He's just, you've got to follow him. He's on Instagram, Art of Brian Dawson. I don't know, again, just search. I'm sure he'll pop up. But honestly, he puts these commissions up that he does from some sketches and obviously some Mahoney stuff. But his art is so, so beautiful. You just got to follow him. Brian Dawson.
There you go.
I'm going to find him right now.
Cool.
That's a bit creepy, Dan.
Cyberstalking live. Is it? there's quite a few Brian Dawsons.
Look for the one that's fucking beautiful art on the front.
Of Brian Dawson. Actually, what am I
doing?
Yeah,
that's it, Art of Brian Dawson.
I'm supposed to be running the show. Jesus Christ. So.
There it is, called The Art of Brian Dawson.
The Art of Brian Dawson.
Following people, his stuff's so outstandingly good.
And I'm following him. Boom, yeah, love it. Oh man, that cap is fucking great. He's done a Captain America jumping in midair.
Yeah. He's got an Ed McGuinness...
Yeah,
Joe Madureira sort of vibe.
I really like that chunky art style.
I got a sort of Humberto Ramos sort of vibe from him as well. You know,
he's a fan of Ramos. Yeah.
Does a great Venom, and he's done Jason Voorhees as well.
Did you see? I retweeted. Someone posted some Humberto Ramos art recently. Did you see the stuff that I retweeted?
No, I might miss it.
Some commissions. And he had a Batman in there, which is absolutely astounding. I think he's sort of an unsung great, that artist. I think not enough people, whether it be from his early work or obviously he worked on Spider-Man for a long time, didn't he?
He still does. Yeah.
And obviously, I loved Crimson, the cliffhanger book, Crimson.
Yeah.
That was a fucking awesome
book. Was that the vampire one?
Yeah, the vampire one.
Because I remember he showed a breakdown of like an Oldsmobile pulling up and the character standing there, and the pages were just like a grid of perspective lines.
Yeah.
And the card drawn within that and the character. And I was like, that is just like workmanship, craftsmanship. It's just fantastic.
And you would see...
Because like, his stuff was even more cartoony back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he had like the bigger feet. It was like massive feet.
But those foundations were like still there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God! Like, and with that book, he had to draw like cathedrals, and you see like these amazing sort of angles looking down at cathedrals, and there was so much detail. Yeah, glorious work, glorious work. But yeah, I could talk about him for the rest of the show. But what we're going to do now is we're going to recommend some comics. Should we let the guest go first, Dan? Should we let the guest go first? Yeah. Rich, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
There's a book called Ponies, that's coming out soon. No, the book, there's a book called Super, and it's by Unlikely Heroes Studios. Have you ever heard of it? Have you ever seen it?
This rings a bell.
Honest to God, man, it is one of the best comics I've read for the last 10 years. The polish on it, it's a small press comic. I think that they've just kickstarted issue 7 a little while ago, and I backed it. And I think it cost me like £16 for a comic because of postage from the States and what have you. But you just think, I don't care. That's a hell of a lot, but it's so good. And it's actually the comic that I wish I'd done with the guys. That's what I was going for. The artist, I think there's one guy called Zach Dolan. I think he writes and draws it. The detail this guy puts on his pages is just fucking unreal. It's just mind-blowing. And honestly, you look at it and you think, this is not a small press comic. This is like, this should be... it's better, yeah. I think, than a lot of the sort of Marvel DC output at the minute. And it's a sort of... it's like a pastiche on the superhero genre. So it is a comedy. As you're saying, it's got elements of The Tick. It's got that sort of that vibe about it. But everything from the dialogue, you know, when it's actually genuinely funny. It's not just trying to be funny. It's genuinely funny. Lovely characters. The artwork is stunning. The storylines just work for a small press indie comic. It is absolutely sensational.
I'm just looking at it now, and it looks.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. There's like a collection of it, volume 1, like issues 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Which are available obviously from them directly as well. It's also available on like Amazon Comixology and Gumroad and things like that.
I cannot recommend it enough. Because I backed the Kickstarter a year or so ago for that collected edition, and the amount of extras, because I think they went past stretch goal after stretch goal, and the amount of extras they threw in, and this book is really, really polished. It's got like a holofoil cover and all the rest of it, but honestly, the workmanship in this comic is just phenomenal.
That looks pretty stunning. Actually, I think quite fitting for this issue as well. Also, Super. You know what?
You can't say
any fairer than that. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that this would be right. Have you? Can you see it yet?
I have. It's popped. I've. Remember seeing it and thinking, oh, I'll back this, and then the price was like, fucking hell, yeah.
I know.
It's quite rich.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple of the images. There's one cover he did where, like, the lead character, the lady in blue and yellow, is like punching the bad guy, and there's all this stuff going on in the background. I was like, wow, that is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really nice stuff.
It's on Comixology. So, yeah,
we'll put
link in the show notes as well. So, yeah, looks amazing. It is. Hang on. I'm going to look this up online as we speak now. Oh, that's the Spanish version. Ignore me then.
I'm going to have to let the side down because I haven't got any recommendations. I haven't been doing much except for working these past couple of weeks on doing Project Hoax. I'm going like a fucking madman trying to.
I'm literally working in the morning. It's looking awesome, dude. It's looking amazing.
Oh, cheers. Yeah. I'm going to be ahead.
It's been really successful, hasn't it?
Yeah, it turned around a nice kind of... I think we'd done just over double the total. So I'm not working on percentage, unfortunately. But so, yeah, I'm kind of like just want to get it done, looking great. It's kind of what I've done like a lot of the pages and then done another pass and I'm thinking, what if I add in this, add in that? And yeah, I said to myself, don't go too detailed. And obviously, I've just fucking... That's gone out the window immediately. and
yeah,
starting to add in all these little details and background bits and bobs.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to seeing it, dude. Yeah. And I
Yeah, looking forward to getting it done.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I just saw that Super is on Comixology for $7.49. That's for like 171 pages. So,
okay.
That's not too bad.
It's quite, as you say, it's quite steep, but I honestly recommend it. Really,
I've seen
really
steeper.
Highly.
I've seen steeper for digital books. That's for 171 pages. That's not too bad in the grand scheme of things for an indie book. Yeah. We've seen ridiculous prices.
Some of them just, oh Lord, it might as well, I can get the fucking hardback.
Yeah.
Which I'd more want that more over than digitals. Yeah.
Okay. My recommendation is, it's a quick one. I picked up a sketchbook from Son of Ken, who is a Welsh sort of artist. Works with Pete Taylor. They actually, those two announced they're doing a Kickstarter for Savage Silverbeard. Have you noticed this?
No.
Which is like a barbarian gorilla. I mean, fucking, why wouldn't you pledge to something that's a barbarian gorilla? Do you know what I mean? It's just absolutely amazing. Imagine Conan if he was a silverback. Fuck me. Take my money. But yeah, that's going to be coming soon. And I was very lucky to see some of that at BAM at the weekend. And I picked up Son of Ken's sort of just sketchbook, which he released on the day. And I tell you what, this is an artist to keep an eye out for. He's a bloody, absolutely stunning stuff. Very, very graphically appealing as well. For those there, I can see his stuff would be great for, like, I don't know, everything really. I mean, it's got that I want to say lots of different influences, but I know I'd murder them. But there's definitely a sort of a music sort of vibe as well. He's definitely does a lot of sort of music style sketches. He did a sketch of just a dude with a baseball cap, and Daryl Thorpe said that looks like Vince. So when he met me on the day, he gave me the sketch, which is quite nice.
Oh, nice.
Of a dude with a beard and a baseball cap. He drew me, and he didn't even know it was me. Maybe we were meant to be. But
did he
draw
you like one of his ladies?
Yeah, one of his French girls. but you can find him on Twitter at Son of Ken, and you can find him on Instagram at The Art of Sock, S-O-K. So just check that out, because you'll see what I mean. It's just nice to look out for as well. And I'm going to be talking more about, like, for instance, Pete Taylor's work in the future. So I need to get them on the show, because they're a really good lads. But yeah, this weekend for Free Comic Book Day, not Free Comic Book Day, fucking, it's all blurring into one, isn't it? Small Press Day, that's what it was. One of the pod favourites, Claire Spiller from Wine and Zine, she released for one day only. It was free. Her Inktober Bestiary, which I immediately had to make, even though I was away, I made sure I bookmarked it and got it on Gumroad for free. I think you can get it now on Gumroad for a small fee, but I'm sure lots of people have probably already got it themselves. But what it basically is, Inktober, which is something we've talked about on the show, and are you going to try that this year, Dan?
It's usually a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, isn't it? And I think,
is that sketch a day? Is that Inktober?
Yeah, you've got to basically draw it and post it once a day, isn't it? And you see some amazing stuff come out of it. People have created comic books from it. But and in order to do those sort of things, you need to have a plan in place.
I've many times like gone at it half-heartedly and then done like a week and then just kind of floundered and missed a day. And then as soon as you miss a day, oh, fuck it, I've fucked it.
Yeah. And I tell you what, this book by Claire is a brilliant example of how to do it right, because in Inktober on October 2018, this is what it says in the book. It's basically like it's an illustration sort of book of monsters. It's a month of monsters, but not as you know them. And it's a record of lore and artwork, taking a surprisingly fresh look at well-known mythological beasts. And basically, over October 2018, Claire designed, illustrated, and basically wrote about one well-known monster a day. But she's, rather than just talking about the classic sort of, you know, what we would think is a minotaur, she's got like a bit of text about it, which is very different. It feels like she was creating her own like universe with this book. I like as well, but then the illustration itself would be a bit different. And of course, October 2018 is long past, but she decided to, you know, she's got all these illustrations, these beautiful illustrations, decided to collect them together into a 70 page sort of collection, a digital collection, and she's added some bonus sort of making of content at the end, which I thought was totally ties into planning, because she totally, even though it was for October 2018, she planned it beforehand. So what she had to do was essentially draw on those days. She'd already set up, you know, what monster she was going to do to, on that day. She had sketched out the sort of, you know, the look of the creature, you know, maybe some just little sketches in a sketchbook. And yeah, and then on October she just went for it. I loved, like, I follow Claire on Instagram anyway, so I loved watching the work. And I was very lucky. I'm the owner of one of the pieces of artwork as well. There's a Cyclops for the Cyclops page. Some of you may have seen this online, actually. The Cyclops page is actually, it's a couple of cats in a room, and the cats only have one eye, and they're in a sort of like decrepit room with a sort of a decoration on the wall that makes it almost tells a story in itself, because it seems like, what is this decoration on the wall? What do those words mean? It's like a sort of female figure in it, you know, with a sort of like some strange text behind her, you know, that tells a story in itself. And that was just for Cyclops. So already, you know, normally you'd think a Cyclops would be a giant with a club, you know, something like Harryhausen. I mean, I love Harryhausen, but Claire's doing a lot of different things. Some of them are, you know, taking a monster that you think would be quite terrifying and making it a lot sweeter, maybe nicer. Some of them are genuinely terrifying. And I'm all about monsters anyway, so this was just cool. And so I thoroughly recommend that you check this out. Cool. And also, if you're interested in owning some of these, like their original sort of A5 pieces, and like I say, I've got the Cyclops one, and it's stunning. I loved it. When I go through, you know, just seeing the ink work and like the lighting of everything, you got to see it. I mean, it's nice to see it digitally in this sort of collection. It's nice to have this collection. But I think lots of people are going to take her up on getting some of these original illustrations as well, which are available to buy. So yeah, just check it out and send your inquiry to clairespiller@gmail.com. If you go to clairespiller.co.uk, you can find out more about the book. But what I also got about this, it felt like it was, when I was looking at the characters and these creatures and as it went along, it felt like it was a mini universe. Like this was almost like a handbook for The Witcher, you know, if there was a difference.
Oh, okay, nice.
I mean, it was like, do you know, like The Witcher has its own universe of creatures, lore yeah. and things. It felt like all of this was in the same world, and I kind of thought, oh, I'd like to see Claire maybe have a character that explores this world, you know, whether it's like someone who helps monsters or someone that hunts monsters or, you know, do lots of things with it would be quite interesting. So there you go, Claire, you can have that idea for nothing. but yeah, definitely check them out. And also check out the Wine and Xena podcast as well. I'm a big fan of them. Yeah,
I remembered the shout out. I'm on the Y Comics episode this week. It comes out on Wednesday, 2 days after this show airs, and I talk about Y Comics and my love for comics with Stuart Mulrane. So that's on Podbean on the Nerds That Haunted Us.
I mean, I'm going to check it out, and I know a lot of our listeners will check it out as well. But you know, spoilers for anyone, and you just have to answer with one word: Dan Butcher, Y Comics.
Oh, because they're great.
That's not one word.
Awesome.
There you go. Oh, I tell you what, he's keeping the branding as well. God, I love this boy.
Gotta do it.
And thank you to everyone that listened this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. It was a proper good fun to talk about some superhero comics and get into that.
Yeah.
It won't be the last time as well. I think when we meet Richard Lemington, we're going to have a good old superhero chat there.
Give
as well.
Superhero chat, yeah.
Definitely.
Hopefully people get into Mahoney's read up before the Kickstarter launches. Well, when you listen to this show, it would have launched.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, trust us. When you read issue one, you're going to be pledging for issue two.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Cool. You know. Yeah. That's the faith we have in you, Rich. See?
Cheers, mate. I'll take it. Definitely.
See, one of the great thing about Mahoney's, like, if it continues to do well, you've got all the bar-related stuff you can put, like, you can do Mahoney's beer glasses, Mahoney's mats.
Well, I looked into, like, glasses.
Yeah.
Like a pint glass with Mahoney's logo on the side for the Kickstarter, but the postage would just be a nightmare. But, yeah, I've looked into beer mats. That'd be really cool.
Oh,
there you go.
The brand is just going to grow and grow and grow. One day, maybe he'll have his own artisan IPA. Oh, I feel
sick. That'd be great.
No. God.
That'd be great.
Oh, are you an ale man, Dan?
No.
Me neither. I drank a bit of one today, and I was like, oh,
fucking get that filth out of my face.
It was like eating a liquid shoe. Fuck me. Terrible. I don't care for hops. There you go. That's the quote of the episode.
I did do one, like a drawing for someone at work, and they got me like a kind of pack of the BrewDog ones.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, thanks. It's like, oh, God.
Did you give them away to someone for Christmas or something like that?
No, I think I drank one or two cans and then gave the rest away. Gave the other two cans away.
Yeah.
Not the kind of, I'm the big spender, check me out, here it is, 2 free cans of beer. I gave it to my brother and said, you have these, I won't drink them. So, yeah. My brother proceeded to crack them open and drink them drive as he went home. my brother doesn't drink and drive, so no. Let's just get out of there.
He was on a bicycle.
still get arrested for that.
Do you? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. What am I talking about? I'm not allowed on the road. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, folks. If there was anything, maybe you were listening to this episode and you're screaming into your MP3 player or whatever device you listen to, saying, why aren't you mentioning this? Well, tough, you're not here.
You didn't mention it to us.
Yeah, you didn't mention it to us. See what I mean? But you can get in touch with us, and there's several different ways you can get in touch with us. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Thank you for the people who've been sending comics through, by the way, because we've had some cracking stuff come through on the podcast. And there's some creators that, you know, it was lovely just out of the blue to get some PDFs from creators that I'm a bit of a fan of. So expect to hear us talk about some of those books in the near future. Yeah, keep them coming. Because, you know, we'll give a shout out and stuff as well. So, yeah, follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod. We'll be announcing, like, future guests and stuff. And, yeah, maybe we'll throw out some questions. I'll tell you what we haven't done in a while, Dan. We haven't done what?
A poll. Usually we do those.
Yeah, we haven't done one of them. But that's a lot of work, isn't it? We haven't done a Three Amigos show that's, like, you know, people that just can ask whatever they want.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Do you think that's overdue?
Yeah.
Maybe in the near future, the next sort of Three Amigos, maybe we will. We'll see. But either way, get in touch with us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and join if you do Facebook groups and stuff, of which there's a few good ones out there. The best of which is Awesome Comics Talk, which you need to join. There's a great group of people on there, a great community that's built up on that little Facebook group that we just sort of started, and we've just let to its own devices, haven't we? We just water the plant now and then and make sure no one's shamelessly trying to hard sell. Some people are quite cheeky with it.
Yeah,
when they say, some people are quite cheeky in trying to slip past the net, but we're having none of it.
we're pretty brutal.
Yeah, we are pretty brutal, but it's all because we want people to enjoy comic talk on that group, so join it because it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to us, whether it's on awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, and just shout about it, because it helps get the word out about all these different types of comics. And likewise, if you listen to us on any networks, maybe Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what are the networks we on, Dan?
Tony's Hairy Sack. I did that to get a laugh for Tony.
Ugh, fucking hell. I didn't think I'd feel like this about you, Dan. Jesus. You've changed.
I was always this way.
That's true. It's true. If anything, this show has made him worse, people.
Yeah, I think so.
But, where can
I can't get Tony stuck out my head now.
Oh, watch it. Oh.
It's better than being anywhere else, I guess.
We are, of course, talking about his sleeping bag. Nothing else, because we're not that kind of show.
I wasn't.
Yeah. How do we explain the hair then? And on that bombshell.
On that bombshell. Where can people find us online, etc.? Where you can follow Tony at @asoyes on Twitter. Which he'll be coming back, and he'll be coming back strong.
Yes.
And probably full of salt and vinegar, which is how it should be.
Never iron anything. Dot blogspot.
.co.uk, wherever it is, you should check it out because it's brilliant. And like, you know, certainly, I mean, I love reading it. We can be nice about it because he's not here, can't we?
Yeah, I love reading it.
Yeah,
every time there's a new review, I'm on it like a car bonnet.
Where do you get these, Dan?
You know.
Yeah.
Love Island.
How dare you, sir?
Did you just throw shade at Dan Butcher by insinuating
I've never watched that.
All right, calm down, Dan. You're getting quite upset. Just take a deep breath. You okay? Right. Okay. What's the matter with you, Rich? What are you starting on Dan for?
I'm just defending Love Island. I think it's a great watch.
Yeah, I bet that. Yeah, there's quite a few listeners who are probably going, I love Love Island. Me and Dan are not one of them. Anyway, where can
I people... can't tell you if I like it or not because I've never ever watched it.
We've never watched it, and we're not going to judge it if we haven't watched it. So, I mean, Tony's probably saying something as we speak right now. But where can people find you online, Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. You can find out more about my comics at TheRedMouseFromMars.com. Rich Carrington, you have been an absolute legend this week.
Thank you very much.
Where can people find you and your work again?
I've written it down, actually, because I don't know it off the top of my head. Instagram, CarringtonRich100. Twitter, at RichCarty100. And then if you just go onto Facebook and just search Hardline Comics, it's all there.
Nice.
Nice. So there you go, people. More great new work to check out that you didn't know about before. That's what this show's all about. So, this week, go forth, read loads of comics. I don't think there's any conventions or stuff at the moment, are they, coming up for the next couple of weeks? I think we're all right, aren't we?
On the holiday break, yeah, I don't think there is.
I think, so for right now, you don't have to worry about saving your pocket money. You can go out and just buy loads of comics on New Comic Book Day. So
yes.
go forth, do that, read loads of cool comics, check out loads of indie creators, and from Dan, Tony, the very much missed Tony Esmond.
Hell yeah. He'll be back.
Yeah, Rich and myself have a brilliant week. And as always, what do they do, Dan?
Stay awesome.
Yes. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
See ya.